All right, it's good to see you this morning. It is, and good to see Brother Brinson. He and I go back a long ways. You know, I tell you what, Brinson, I'm not going to tell stories about you if you don't tell stories about me. Deal? It's a deal, because I've got some really good ones about him. I got some good. Now, if the price is right, I might fudge on that. Amen. Amen. There's a lot under the blood there. There you go. Well, it is good to see him. He's, you know, and I've forgiven him for standing us up, and he had that story about the breakdown and everything, but that's okay. That's all right. We're still going to support him. But I've enjoyed it. I tell you, I'm ready to roll. I've had my Dunkin' Donut run this morning and had my pumpkin donut. I tell you what, I love the fall because all these pumpkin things, you know, pumpkin blizzards, pumpkin lattes, pumpkin pie. My wife doesn't like pumpkin, so... that's okay. I like enough for both of us. So we had a great, great time this morning running and getting my pumpkin donut. So that'll keep me awake. Maybe I should have given some of you guys one. I don't know. I know those people. Yeah, amen. All right, yeah. Hey, we can work that out. So there you go. If that what it takes to get an amen, I'll just throw out pumpkin every now and then. I'll get it. This is the amen corner over here. We'll just get it going. Well, it's good to be with you this morning. We're thankful to be here, and we've enjoyed our time. We got in Friday. I think it was Friday. Losing track of the days. Since we're in church, this is Sunday, so 2 days ago. Okay, that was Friday. And thank the Lord, we've enjoyed just our fellowship with everybody. And some of you are a little crazy, though. I just tell you that right now. Some of you are a little crazy. And anyway, not going to call any names, but there you go. Takes one to know one, doesn't it? Well, amen. Let's take God's word, and I want us to go to the Psalms this morning. I want us to go to chapter 4. Chapter 4 and chapter 5. Start with chapter 5 of the Psalms. Turn to Psalm chapter 5, please. Psalm chapter 5, and I want to begin my reading in verse 1. Psalm chapter 5, begin my reading in verse 1. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God. For unto thee will I pray. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. Let's pray together. Father, we need you this morning. We need you to speak to our hearts. I pray you would take your word and just apply it to us through your Holy Spirit where we need it. We need to grow in this area. All of us need to do that. And I ask you to take us places through your word where we have not yet gone, where you want us to go. Still our hearts and help us to focus on you and you alone this morning. In Christ's name, amen. I was reading a prayer letter from a missionary. It wasn't one of the missionaries we support at this time in our church, but I got a prayer letter on an email prayer letter, and I was reading it, and he was talking about a need that he had. And I think he was right on the verge of having 100% support. He's right there, like 98 point, whatever, you know, just there. So there's two or three churches that are like in the balance, you know, trying to make up their mind. You've been there, right? Some of you have been there, you folks in missions. And he said, my sending church is having an all-night prayer meeting, that my support will come in the next couple weeks. And I thought, wow. My first question was, would our church do that? If I said, listen, this Friday night, we're going to have an all-night prayer meeting, so brother whatever, who's going out of our church, he's that close getting support, and there's a couple of churches in the balance, and we're going to pray all night, they'll get because he's got a target date to leave, and I want you to turn out and pray. How many people would show up? Then I said, would I show up? Oh, yeah, I'm the pastor. I need to do that. So, would I do that? Remember our prayer meetings we used to have, Brinson? That was a sweet time. And they could pray longer than me because I was older. I'd fall asleep about 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock. We used to have... The guys, we had like all-night prayer meetings down in Charleston. everybody, and I'm talking about everybody, I'm talking about the guy this side of the lectern, needs to grow in this area of prayer. Churches, if you're satisfied, you're in trouble. If you're satisfied, as an individual, you're in trouble. I'm not. And if you're satisfied as a church, you're in trouble. And so there are three things here that I think the Lord can teach us about prayer from this psalm. I was reading a book by Brother Leonard Ravenhill, Why Revival Tarries. He had some interesting things to say about prayer. It was a good book, and he said, we have a lot of organizers, but few agonizers. Many players and payers, but few prayers. And many singers, no slam here, Brother Scoville, but few clingers. Many fears, few tears. Much fashion, little passion. Many interferers, boy, isn't that the truth, few intercessors. And I tell you what, if we fail here, we fail everywhere. The early church was a church of prayer. And the cause of Christ advanced on the knees of the people. I mean, what happened when Peter was in prison? They sent letters to Rome, right? They appealed to Rome. No, sir, they had prayer meeting. And they chose the early deacons. Why? So the apostles could go to Dunkin' Donuts and have more donuts and coffee. No, give themselves to the study of the Word and prayer. There's no substitute for prayer. And if you want to substitute something for prayer, you're in trouble already. You're in trouble already. I think a red flag to me is this. Do I want to pray? If I don't want to pray, why not? Why not? Prayer is not a ritual. Prayer is a very vital part of a relationship with the living God. It really is. And if I struggle, and I tell you what, your flesh is going to struggle with you. So just mark that down. And I have problems with my flesh. And if you don't have problems with your flesh, please help me. See me after the service and tell me your secret, because I will love to hear it, because my flesh struggles. And you say, oh, you're too tired. You know, I hadn't thought about that. You're right, I am tired. Or you got too much. Yeah, you're right. So, flags that we have to look at. Now, chapter 5 is probably a morning prayer. And if you look at the end of chapter 4, that probably was an evening hymn. Look at the end of chapter 4, verse 7. Thou hast put gladness in my heart more than the time than their corn and their wine increase. I both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. Those were his last thoughts as he went to bed. Last thoughts determine first thoughts. Okay? And so as he goes to bed, he's thinking about the Lord and the Lord's goodness, and so he's prepared to wake up to meet with God. How about you? Last thoughts will determine first thoughts. And so do you go to bed at night planning on, anticipating, looking forward to meeting with God? Well, if you aren't, you probably won't. You probably won't. It's not a matter if you can fit it in, or if I don't take too long with my cereal or whatever. It's a matter of it's important to you. Okay, three things that I think the Lord can show us. One is the petitions. Look again there at verse 1. He said, give ear to my words, telling. And do you notice what he said? Give ear to my words, O Lord, capital L-O-R-D, Jehovah. And so he knows who he's talking to. He is talking to Jehovah, the self-existent, self-sufficient one. He knows that. Don't forget that. You say, I know that. I know you know that, but do you know that? And sometimes we pray like, well, you know, I'm doing this because it's something I'm supposed to do. But you don't really get hold of who you're talking to. And who's talking to you? By the way, prayer is a two-way street. You know that, don't you? Who you're talking to, who's talking to you? This is Jehovah God. And He wants you to go there. He says, he said, give ear to my words, O Lord. He's talking to Jehovah God, the God of heaven. And he comes with comments. This is not a matter of, well, I hope you can hear me. Put your bulletin here or your chewing gum or something and turn to Hebrews chapter 4 or your donut or whatever you got. Hebrews chapter 4. I love this. And you probably know where I'm going. Hebrews chapter 4. Because we don't have to wonder, you know, can I do this? Am I welcome? Because we have a promise here in Hebrews 4, verse 16, all right? Here's David's heart. He's not saying, you know, can I come? Am I able to come? No, he's really expressing confidence like the writer of Hebrews did. Let us therefore come boldly. That word boldly is the idea of confidence. Let's come with confidence unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace in time of need. Well, I don't know about you, but I have a lot of times of need. It seems like every day. And so David is saying, we're back in the psalm now, he said, give ear to my words, O Lord. This is a statement of confidence. What he's saying is, I need to talk to you. And I can talk to you, and I want to talk to you, and I need to talk to you. And he does that confidently. Confidently. And there are times friends can't or won't or not sufficient to hear. But we run them first sometimes. And friends and families have a place. But I tell you what, David said, give ear to my words, O Lord. And so your words need to be directed to him. And so many times, that's not the first course, that's the last course. You know, I'd say to someone, have you prayed about that? Whoa, has it come to that? Well, it should have come to that first place. Let's see. First response. So sometimes we talk to everyone under the sun, but to our Heavenly Father. And that's one of the first questions I ask when someone comes to me for counsel. I say, listen, have you been praying about this? And they sort of look at you like, what's that got to do with this? You know, what has that got to do with the problem? I came here for you to help solve my problem. When I said, the Lord's going to solve your problem. And I'm going to help you get before Him. Oh, so I got to pray? No, you don't have to. You get to. Okay, let's get this thing straight. So then there's the words. Now, he said also, consider my meditation. There's the words, and there's the wish or the thoughts. What's going on in your mind? And see, what's going on in your mind sometimes overflow the heart, and your thoughts precede, of course, the words of your mouth. And in your thoughts, you're thinking about the burden, but also consciously, and sometimes even subconsciously, you take those thoughts, you turn them to the Lord. You're riding down the road, whatever, and in your mind, that burden's there, and you're thinking through it. But immediately, and this is what should happen, immediately you turn to the Lord with that need and with that burden. And so his meditation is the heart just rehearsing what's there, what's going on in there, and what's the burden there. And also turning to the fact that God can meet that. It's a process. And he says, consider what's going on in my mind, what I'm thinking about. Consider. And in that thinking through and that thinking through what's going on in your life and your burden or your joys, whatever, in there is also, in the very center of that, God is able, He can, I'm going to take this to Him. And that's His thought process. That's why He said, consider my meditation. Because He wants God to see not only the burdens that He's thinking about, but what He's thinking through in relation to those burdens and how He's going to deal with them and how He's going to turn those over to Him. And He wants God to see that, weigh it in the scales and judge. What are you thinking about? What do you think about? What do you think about when you're burdened? You know, I'll tell you what your flesh will have you think about. How am I going to deal with this? How am I going to get out of this mess? How's this need going to be met? That's the flesh, that's not the spirit. When you're meditating like that, and the flesh just is like, that's like a rope, and you've grabbed onto it, and it's like, how? Oh, what am I going to do? Now then, what if this happens? Well, if that happens, then this will happen, and if this happens, then this will happen, and if that happens, oh my goodness, this will happen. Well, soon you've got a whole domino. It's like, discipline your mind. So your meditation, it's okay to go through what you're facing. That's all right. Don't stick your head in the sand. But you go through that with hope because you say, you know, and it's almost like you bounce back and forth from your heart. You know, here's what's happening. Now, Lord, what are we going to do about this? What do you want me to do about this? Here's my need, or here's I want to tell you this. And it's like a bouncing back and forth. Are you with me? You understand what I'm saying? Because this is really important. We don't do that because we get stuck and we're just bogged down. You know who has burdens? Everybody. Raise your hand if you don't have a burden this morning. Nobody raised their hand. Not even the young people. They have burdens too. You do. You do. Sometimes adults say, oh, you're a kid. You wait till you get grown. You think you got problems now. You think, well, I don't know if I want to grow up or not. But, you know, we all have burdens, and they're different at different seasons of life. And that's not a bad thing, though. Because if you don't have burdens, you don't realize what a great burden bearer you have. And when you don't have needs, you can't see needs met. So the Lord, and that's part of your whole thought process and your meditation. The Lord's in charge. And this is not just something you believe, this is something you live. And so there's those words. And then, going to verse 2, he says, hearken unto the voice of my cry. There's the wailing or the cry. So there's the words, there's the wishes, here's the wailing. And I was telling our people this. And you may think I'm weird or something, but that's okay. It won't be the first time. There's something about crying out to God. I mean verbally. There's something, God seems to respond to that. If you do a study, we're doing a study on Nehemiah in our church on Sunday morning. And in chapter 9, they just cried out to God. Here's my burden. Here's my need. Might want to get alone somewhere, but so you don't scare everybody after that. But I've done that. I had a man come to us in our church, and he said, Pastor, that was the answer. I said, what was the answer? He said, I've been so burdened. He said, I listened to what you said. That's always good to hear when the preacher, someone says, I listened. It's good, 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 good. I listened to what you said. And I went, and I cried out to God with my burden. We don't cry out to God. We cry. We have a party we call our pity party. We invite those three, you know, me, myself, and I. Why am I having to do this? Why does this happen to me? Why, God, I'm trying to serve God. I'm trying to do what's right. This went wrong. My car broke down. No. I don't know why I put that in there. But anyway, we go on and on and on. Instead of crying out to God. And this is not crying because you're upset. This is crying out to God because you know He's going to hear you. And this is a burden in your heart. And I tell you what, this is biblical. If you check it out, you'll see throughout the Word of God, saints crying out to God and God hearing that. And so that's important. That's important. There's this petitioning. Now, verse 2, we see a priority. He said, hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God. My King. Here, God's sovereign and David's submissive. Good place to be. God is sovereign. David is submissive. Now, God's sovereign whether you submit or not, okay? But he's going to make God sovereign in his life, and he's submitting to him. Here's the king. David's the king. The king submitting to the king. And God is sovereign, but do you submit to his sovereignty? A lot of times when we come to God, we're not asking. We sort of want to tell. And, you know, okay, Lord, I know you're busy, so I've worked this all out for you. And here's what needs to happen. And here's the deadlines for you, and I know how busy you are, and I mean, we don't say it that way, but really, what we want God to do is work out our plan. Instead of saying, have thine own way, Lord, I say, sort of like to have my way, okay? And he is sovereign, and David's doing this, and is he your king? Kings have absolute rule. When a king rules, there's no voting, you know, there's no elections, and there's no, okay, who's in favor of this, and who's in favor of that, and there's none of that. The king's word is law. Will you let him be sovereign in your life? He is sovereign, but is he sovereign in your life? Is he king of your kingdom? And by the way, that's a constant battle. Paul had it. What did Paul say he had to do? He had to die how often? Daily. Daily. I'm not there yet. I have to die several times a day. Paul said daily. I said, mine's almost on the hour. How about you? Is he your king? Is he your sovereign? And have thine own way. Boy, that's a wonderful hymn, but I think sometimes we sing it and we don't really mean it. And then he said, my king and my God. My king, okay, he's sovereign, my God. Not only is he Lord of David's life, he's the love of his soul. Remember that old hymn we don't sing very often, Jesus, lover of my soul? Remember that hymn? We don't sing that much in our church anymore. But it's a wonderful hymn. Because he's my first love, the one who has my primary affection. God is one that's worshipped. King is one that's submitted to. Both of them need to be in place. Where you adore and you worship him. And don't be afraid of that word worship. Okay, we run from it because we have worship services and worship experiences and we just think of people. Don't be afraid of the word worship. Because Jesus said the Father seeks those that will worship him in spirit and truth. So don't be afraid of that word. Don't let the culture and evangelicals or people steal wonderful truths from the God's Word just because they've misconstrued doesn't mean that we back away from truth. Truth is truth. And worship is a Bible word. And worship is what God's people should do. And worship is what God wants. And worship is what you should do. In your own private life, did you worship God this morning? Did you? Well, I didn't have time. Really? I'm glad it's time for you. Did you worship him this week? You know what will make a church a dynamite place? Everybody's worship God during the week and worship him this morning. They come together. Whew. I said, man, what's going on here? Well, people have been walking with the Lord and then they come together and, wow, that's, you know, you have people that come to the local church and they say, there's something different about this place. Here's the Spirit of the Lord. And we were here worshiping him. And, he did that. He did that. You know, God wants us to ask. He says, you have not because you ask not. But I'll tell you what, that's just level one. That's like kindergarten. You want to move on in first grade, in high school. You need to ask. Please don't misunderstand. But you need to get beyond that. You need to get to the place of interceding. I know about for others. But you also need to get to the place of adoring. You know, we're quick to ask, slow to adore. When's the last time you just got before the Lord and you said, Father, you know, you're probably not going to believe this, but I didn't come to ask you for a bunch of stuff today. I just came to tell I love you. I just came to tell you I love you. And you've been so good to me. I talked to one of the young people, and I said, how are you doing? He said, better than I deserve. I said, yeah, you're probably right. No, but he is right. God's so good. And we get worked up, and we get caught up in what the bills we have to pay and the things that we have to do and the burdens, and we forget God is good. We don't worship him. You need to worship him because he's good, but you need to worship him just because of who he is. Now, I tell you what, we need a revival of worship. We really do. And you know why? Listen to this now. Some people may not like it, but I'm in a place where we'll like this. You know why there's a little prayer? among God's people because there's a little passion. What will bring you to prayer is a love for God, a love for Jesus. All right, we better go on to the next one. Practice, okay? Verses 2 and 3, the practice. Practice. He said, in the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. Purpose, he said, unto thee. Unto thee, he said, will I make my prayer unto thee in the morning. Prayer is part of his life. Prayer should be part of your life. Ongoing. What did Paul tell the Thessalonians? How often did he say, pray without ceasing? And what does that mean? That means that there's that constant flow of communication between you and the Lord, and it's not, see, we just think, okay, here's my prayer time. Okay, my 3 minutes are up. Okay, let's move on. If I did this with my wife, I'd say, okay, it's my wife time. Talk to wife time. Okay, when are we having for supper tonight? What am I having for dessert? Make sure you pick up my shirts. I need my shirts from the cleaners. Okay, man, wasn't that a good time fellowship? Okay, I'll see you tomorrow. Can't wait to my wife time alone with my wife again. That was a blessing to me. I tell you what, got all my burdens off. And by the way, could you also clean up the room and everything? And what, could you wash the car? I wouldn't do all that. She doesn't wash the car. You guys are thinking, man, what kind of preacher is this? We do the Lord that way. You say, well, I won't be long today because I don't have too many things to ask. Prayer, the purpose, unto thee, and to thee will I turn. And then he said, the plan is in the morning. Did you see that? Now, I know what some of you are saying right off the bat. Preacher, I'm not a morning person. You know what? Doesn't matter. I don't know if David was a morning person or nothing. It doesn't matter. Morning here, I think, it does talk about the time of day, but I think it also talks about priority. We got hunters in our church, and when deer season comes, man, they're out of there. And they get up at the crack of dawn. We got a little cafe in our town, and they open up like 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning for people to eat. And I thought, who eats at 4 o'clock? Who eats at 3 o'clock in the morning? People are going deer hunting. I'm going. Someone said, you want to go deer hunting? No, I'm not going to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning, go climb up in a tree, sit up there freezing and waiting for Bambi to come by. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. That's not important to me. Now, if you want to do that, fine. But you know what? I never heard one guy say, you know, I didn't get to go hunting. I overslept. Oh, I'm so sorry. Did you set your alarm? No, I forgot to set my alarm. Oh, no. They're all excited. They got their alarms. They got all their stuff out and all their equipment. And that alarm goes out, bing, they're out of the bed. And they're off. I guess to the restaurant to get their breakfast at 3 in the morning. But anyway, and they're off. Why? That's important. Meeting with God is not important with God's people. It's not. It's not. It's not. And I don't know any of you that have ever lived in dorms. And they call them residence halls now. But when I was in school, it was dormitories. And you learn a lot about living with people. You watch them. And I thought, so these are our preachers of tomorrow. I thought, we're in trouble. I'm serious. I was amazed how little people prayed. I say, brother, don't you spend time with prayer. You don't know, I'm just really big. I got these papers. I got this. Okay. People pray so little. I'm not talking about preachers. Studies have been done, and preachers, they don't. You know, I think the best thing I can do for our people, our church, is pray for them. I need to preach. I understand that. But I need to pray for them. And I do. I do. And so, there's the purpose unto thee. There's the plan in the morning because it's a priority. And if he's really your king, okay, you say he is. Okay, if he's really your king, doesn't it make sense to sort of report to the king and just say, Lord, what would thou have me to do? Be like Samuel. What do you want me to do today? Before you leave your house, fellas, don't you tell your wife you love her? Don't you give her a kiss? Hope I'm not getting anybody in trouble. Okay. Why, do you have to be made to do that? Hope not. See, Luke, that's, I see you up there laughing. I'll tell you what, you're not married yet. I saw you up there getting excited. Okay, there you go. But that's good. That's one of the blessings of being married. Amen? Amen. Why you do that? Because you love your wife. And you want her to know you love her. And you show her you love her. That's just one of many ways. And if you want to know some other ways, just ask her. She'll tell you. But first things first. And that's prayer. First things first. And he comes there in the morning. Will I? How about you? How about you? Will you do that? And so there's the purpose, there's the plan, there's the persistence. You probably notice I alliterate a lot. That's because I'm illiterate. My voice shall thou hear in the morning. O Lord, in the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, will I look up. Persistence. I will direct. I will direct. This is an interesting phrase here. If you go to Leviticus chapter 1, we're running a little short on time, but if you go to Leviticus chapter 1, around verse 7, 8, and 12, it's the same word there we use of the priest laying out the wood in the sacrifice. You just lay the wood out in the sacrifice, they get that thing in order, and that was one of their duties, to lay out that wood in the sacrifice for that day. And so they would have that ready for the morning sacrifice, Leviticus 6, 12. So two key words here. Two key words. Let's look again. And he says, in the morning will I direct my prayer. In the morning, I'll direct my prayer unto thee, will I look up. And so, key word there is to do that each day and every day. Persistence. Persistence is essential. And some people, you know, they go to camp, like you young people went to camp, or maybe they have a revival, and say, man, I'm just going to get with the Lord. I'm going to get with the Lord, but not persistent. Not persistent. And I'm going to talk about faith in the morning service, so I hope you'll come back. But you have got to learn by faith and not by feelings. Feelings are wonderful unless they're in charge. If feelings are in charge, you're in trouble. You're in for a rough ride because they're up and then they're what? Down. Faith is a constant walk. And if your Christian life is one based on feelings, so many Christians are that way, and they have to come to church to get pumped up and worked up and emotioned up, and then, oh man, I ran out of gas halfway during in the middle of the week. Oh, I'm all for emotion, but it's the result, not the cause. And I'll tell you what, you have got to be persistent, and you've got to walk by faith and not by feelings. And you say, what do you mean? Well, I don't feel like talking to God. That's your flesh speaking. You do understand your flesh is an enemy of God. Or your flesh will say, well, you do whatever. You got to walk. And then patience, last thought. He said patient. He has patience here. He says, my prayer unto thee, and will look up. That is a look of expectancy. He's looking to him in worship and wanting to meet with him, but also knowing that he hears and knowing he answers. Have you gotten to this point in the Christian life where you have the burden and you take the Lord and you say, you know, that's it. It's done. That's what Peter's talking about when he said casting what? How many cares? All your cares upon him because why he cares for you. We don't do that though, do we? We say, Lord, here's my burden. 20 minutes later, oh man, what am I going to do about that? Oh, what? You didn't cast. You're just playing games. If you really believe, this is where we got to grow in our, this is where we grow. You really believe God is who said he is. He is sovereign. you should have no problem in casting your care upon Him and leaving it there. Our problem is not that God's not great enough. It's in our eyes He's not great enough. And we just take that back, take it back, take it back. Elijah, Brother Elijah stood on Mount Carmel and prayed for fire to come down. And he said, "Oh boy, I hope this thing works out, you know, because this got a big crowd here today. I hope this thing comes together because, you know, I'm going to look really foolish." You say, "Well, I'm not Elijah." I know you're not, but you are you. And God can do in your life what He wants to if you would just let Him. So what's my challenge to you tonight? My challenge to you this morning is to grow in this issue of prayer, in this place of prayer. Let the Lord grow you. Let the Lord grow you. Make this a priority in your life. Will you do that? I've never had anybody come to me and say, "Preacher, I tried this prayer thing and it didn't pan out." Never had. But I have had people in our church come and say, "Preacher, I am so glad God's Word's been speaking to me about prayer, and I've grown in that. And I've seen things like I've never seen needs met in my walk. I've heard that." You will never be sorry if you pursue the place of prayer. And you will never grow beyond your prayer closet.